If you were on Highway 44 on October 8th of last year, early in the morning, you may have seen a BMW drive by you really fast, 105, 106 miles an hour, somewhere around Tower Grove or that general area. Kept going at that speed, out towards Rolla and then down to Oklahoma and then eventually further west all the way to the Santa Monica Pier. The man who is inside that car is my next guest. His name is Alex Roy, who claims that he drove across the country on that ride in 31 hours and 4 minutes. He couldn't talk about it at the time, but he can now because I guess the statute of limitations is up. And he writes about this experience and others in his new book called The Driver, My Dangerous Pursuit of Speed and Truth in the Outlaw Racing World. Hi, Alex. How are you this afternoon?
How are you? Thanks for having me, Mr. Harris.
So you were really coming through our town. You went, you came in on 70 through Illinois, and then you went across the Poplar Street Bridge and took a little trip down 55, got on 44, and you were gone.
That's correct. Although I don't think we were going quite that fast when we came through town, but that's the way we went.
And it says in the book that you averaged something like 95 miles an hour for your 31-hour trip.
The actual average overall was 90.1. But, you know, to be clear, you know, a lot at night, you know, in the desert or, you know, in places where there's no one around, you know, we're going a lot faster. But when we're going through cities, which is very few cities, you obviously you have to slow down because there's people around.
When I first heard about this and I thought about the timing of 31 hours, I thought, okay, you definitely started at night and did most of your driving at night, right?
Yeah, you have to for safety. You know, we left New York at, I think, 9:26 on Saturday night, the 7th. And so, you know, we time it that way because you want to drive, when there's no one out. And then on a Sunday, you have to slow down. It's the daytime. It's people going to church. And, you just can't drive that fast with people around. It's dangerous. And
slowing down for you is what, double digits?
Well, you know, the funniest thing is, in daytime, we're often being overtaken, you know, which is kind of the irony of it all.
Tell people what your equipment is. What are you driving, and what's your support system?
Well, we're driving a 2000 BMW M5, we've got a CB radio, tuck trucks, got a radio scanner, you can hear some of the police. We have a night vision system, so at night, you know, you can see a lot better. We've got a radar detector, laser jammers, 20 gallons of extra fuel, fire extinguisher, binoculars, and a lot of beef jerky. A lot.
Which is one of the questions I wanted to ask you as well. What do you eat? How do you sleep, et cetera? You can't sleep, right? There's no sleeping.
No, there's no sleep. In fact, you really can't sleep because, you know, kind of the adrenaline and tension of the car keeps you awake. And, you know, if anything, you know, when you're driving that fast, you know, you need to be alert. In fact, you have no choice. You are alert. And we don't listen to music. And we're not even really talking. We are looking out the window, and we have binoculars. We're listening to the radio. We're talking to trucks. And, you know, my co-pilot, David Maher, and I, you know, we practiced. We sat in my living room for 35 hours. We drove, you know, 10, 12, 15 hours at a time. And in the back seat, we had, you know, Corey Wells, who shot a film about this. And she is basically our safety. She keeps an eye on us for our kind of fatigue. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, you can't eat too much. You can't drink too much because you can't stop.
So you did not stop any time across the country?
Well, we stopped for gas 6 times. And out of 31 hours, I think we had approximately 35 minutes of actual stop time to refuel.
You need one of those NASCAR guys, one of those pit crews there, so they can, you know, get you going in 11 seconds, and boom, you're on your way.
Yeah. You know, well, the thing is, you know, for safety, you know, if people fly on planes and get, like, embolisms because they don't move, you get out, you need to move. You've got to move your legs. You've got to stretch. And the scariest thing about it is you get back in the car, and the smell of beef jerky and, like, the air in the car, it is really terrifying.
I'm sure.
I'm not trying to make light of this, but that is really, really something.
I'm curious about this. What kind of fuel economy do you get at those speeds across the country?
Well, you know, we got...
Doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, it's essential. You know, if I had a different car, if I could have afforded, you know, say, to buy, you know, a diesel and use that, or, you know, some kind of eco car, that might have been better. But, you know, we studied fuel economy. I mean, M5, my car, is a gas guzzler. It is. But the way we drive is for fuel economy. You know, that car, daily driving, you might get 10, 12, 14 miles to the gallon. We're getting almost 18 miles to the gallon at 90 miles an hour. because we studied how we drive, and we realized how much gas we waste just by, you know, you accelerate, you brake, you think you're tough, you want to pass this guy. It's all nonsense. You have to be safe and consistent and maintain your speed. And that's also safer. Not only is it more economical. So.
Now, when you were driving, you talked about the equipment inside the car. You also had air support, right?
Well, yes. We had a couple of childhood friends who rented a plane and, in fact, flew to St. Louis and took off from St. Louis at dawn on Sunday the 8th and met us just southwest on 44 on the way to, was it Rolla?
Rolla.
Yeah, and forgive my pronunciation.
That's all right.
And
you're going by those signs so quickly, you don't know what they say.
Well, you know, we have paper maps and GPS, so we know where we are, but I don't get to stop and kind of check out the scenery except the gas stations. But the plane flew overhead from St. Louis all the way down past Oklahoma City into Texas. And they basically told us, you know, traffic, road conditions, things like that. So that was a big help, but mostly for traffic.
Go ahead.
Well, when you're driving, commuters are driving, 70, 80, 85 miles an hour. If you're going 90, 95 or more, you want to know if there's traffic ahead because you can't come around a turn, 100 and change, So the plane would tell us, two trucks side by side, car broken down, and that's the kind of thing you want to know to do this.
Talking with Alex Roy, The Driver is the name of his book about his life of the outlaw racing world, and we're talking about his trip last October across the country and through St. Louis from New York to Santa Monica in 31 hours and 4 minutes. You encounter any police along the way?
No, we never did. We saw a couple of police cars. The way we drive, we're speeding, but the way to do this is you can't be tailgating and passing on the right and weaving because if anyone calls the police, you're going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
There's no escape. So the key is, consistent speed and very stealthy driving. And, my book, The Driver, just came out. I've met a lot of cops. I've gotten a few speeding tickets, probably less than most people. Most of the cops I've met, I've become friendly with. They kind of know what we're doing. And it gets weird because they kind of wink at it because they know that if anyone's going to do it, we're kind of the most obsessively meticulous people about it. And the strange thing is I know some friends, some cops in St. Louis, who said, listen, if you get caught, we're going to nail you, but, make sure you come through at night.
I'm surprised they're not out there, but they have no idea when you're coming through. And by the way, let's talk about this statute of limitations. You can talk about this now, this event that took place in October of 06. What is it, a one-year statute of limitations?
Yeah, to be clear, we researched, the laws pertaining to speeding. We don't really know for a fact that, we're ever in the clear. But the fact is, street racing laws are very harsh. They're felonies. But, these laws were designed for, young people, drag racing, who hurt or kill bystanders or innocent people on the road. And I'm all for speed limits and street racing laws. But, we didn't hurt or injure anyone. In fact, no one saw us do it. So someone could come along and say, you're going to get 2,000 speeding tickets. Or, they could any time, and I did it, and I have to fess up to it. But as far as we know, at this point, no one has called me, which is strange.
You were inspired to this because your dad gave you something on his deathbed, right?
Well, my dad loved, loved cars, and for many years he had Porsches and Alfa Romeos and all kinds of weird European cars, and he always wanted to do something like this, and he never did, because he was married and my mom threatened to leave him and she had kids. I was one of them, and so I thought if I'm going to do this, I better do it now because if I had wife and kids, I wouldn't.
But he told you about the Cannonball Run, right?
Well, I think any able-bodied, red-blooded American guy has probably seen the Burt Reynolds film. And, even if my father hadn't come along and, kind of talked to me about it, it's something that kind of lives in all of us. I'm never going to climb a mountain, but if you've got a car, you're 5 minutes away from doing this. Any of us could do it.
And you've taken part in quite a few of these road rallies, haven't you?
Well, to be clear, you know, there's a big difference between what we did going cross-country nonstop and these rallies like the Gumball 3000 and the Bull Run. These rallies today are kind of high-end road trips. You know, you pay a lot of money, you get a week of hotels and parties, and you drive around, you put stickers in your car. That's for people who want to pretend that they're part of something like the Cannonball. But the guys in the 70s, you know, Brock Yates and the U.S. Express guys, these guys were serious. No stickers, no celebrities, no nonsense. You know, they wrote a check to charity for $500, and they drove cross-country nonstop. And those guys, you know, were very serious. There was no crashing Ferraris and going to jail. You know, they wanted to get there safely and quickly, and that's what we did.
One of my favorite stories in the book is while you were taking part in the Gumball Rally, and you were in your BMW, and a light came on, or something came across the little readout on your display there on the dashboard, right?
Yeah, the tire defect warning. Well, you know, I think anyone who's had a modern car knows that, you know, electronic warnings go off and they're not always accurate. And we got this tire defect warning, I forget how, 130 or 140 miles an hour. And we chose to ignore it, which turned out to be the right move. And it happened again, and unfortunately it happened again in German, and we didn't know what it meant. So we had to call BMW roadside assistance in Germany, and they said, ah, yes, what does this mean? It means tire defect. And we kept going.
And in fact, he told you should pull over right away. And then you told him you were in the Gumball Rally.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, oftentimes, you know, roadside assistance for any manufacturer and the local police, you know, they know that people are coming on these rallies. And so oftentimes, you know, people break down in a Ferrari. Everyone in the town will come out and start burst out laughing because, you know, you don't often see a Ferrari, and you always want to see a Ferrari broken down. It's kind of part of the fun.
Right. But this guy from BMW had heard of it and wanted to know how fast you were going, and even though he couldn't hear you, he couldn't help you, he wanted to know afterwards whether you won the race and all that stuff.
Actually, he said he called me if you finished. Good luck. You know, I get good luck messages. I get all kinds of messages from people at BMW, from different law enforcement agencies. I get the strangest messages, you know, from people who just love driving. And I would have to say that, you know, there's a sheriff in New Jersey who's particularly fond of us, you know, who always wishes me luck before we go. It's really quite surreal.
Alex Roy's book is called The Driver. We've got a link to it now in the bookstore on KMOX.com. You buy it with that link, and a portion of the proceeds will go to help out St. Louis Children's Hospital.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
Yeah, that's Alex Roy. He's the guy who went New York to Santa Monica in 31 hours and 4 minutes last October. If you were on 44 on the early morning hours of October 8th, 2006, you may have seen him go by at, let's just say he wasn't following the legally posted speed limits. I heard your story, and one of our traffic guys, Captain Roger Brand, who is our airborne traffic reporter every morning and afternoon, knew about you and actually directed me to a YouTube site that led me to your website, which is how I heard more about your exploits and about your book. And Roger's on the phone now, and I think he's got a question for you. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Dave, Paul, how you doing? And Alex, I was just sort of curious about the time of the year when you planned your trip. For one, because of, you know, you're going through a lot of different climatological changes, the possibilities of, you know, rain or maybe even in October. I know you never know. I mean, around here sometimes the temperatures get low enough that the road conditions might not be the greatest. And the one big question as I'm chugging along at 38 miles an hour right now is road construction. How do you know going across all those states that you're not going to come across, like next year, one of our interstates here is going to shut down completely for a year? How do you take all that into consideration in planning your route and when you go?
Well, actually, you know, I had a number of kind of volunteers and friends, all under non-disclosure, and we split up the country and the route, and we each had a couple of states that we were responsible for. And we looked up basically each state's website and checked the construction schedules. And so, you know, we went across three times. We had a practice run and then two attempts. And so we knew, you know, months in advance the schedules. And but even when there was construction, there was a lot of construction. You know, we knew that Columbus Day weekend is one of the few three-day weekends where people are not really traveling relative to other, you know, three-day weekends. So even with the construction, there was hardly anyone on the road. I mean, we had virtually no traffic except in a few places. And when there was construction, there was pretty much no one out. So that, and that was a safety decision as well, because, you know, you can't speed through such zones when there's traffic.
Now, Roger, I'm curious, because I'm fascinated by this sort of thing. Even before the Cannonball Run movie, there was a movie with Michael Sarrazin called The Gumball Rally.
Well, that's a good one.
On DVD. Yeah.
Yeah, you have it on DVD. So yeah. You're fascinated by this as well. Can you see yourself? I mean, is it one? I think a lot of guys have this dream to get behind that wheel and just floor it for as long as humanly possible.
I got a good friend who owns a BMW shop here and stuff, and I mean, you know, he's a Dynan distributor, so he sells performance parts for BMWs, and I know that he just loved to do something. Doesn't we always talk about it? But you know, so far we just stick to club events and going to the track and doing the autocrosses. But there's nothing like the excitement and the risk, I guess. But like you said, Alex is a lot of people would have never taken the time to plan and take all the thought and everything else into consideration. I mean, he did it. But like you said, it's not just, you know, throwing care to the wind and just getting in and just going full bore and forgetting about everything. I mean, he took a lot into consideration, and hats off to him for that, to consider other people and everything else to get the record.
All right, Roger, I'll talk to you from the copter in a few minutes.
Okay.
Captain Roger Brand, who will be airborne here at the top of the hour or later on this afternoon here on News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Alex Roy, 7-time road rally champion, who writes about his exploits driving across the country and, in fact, in Europe as well, in his book called The Driver, which we have featured now on KMOX.com. When I mentioned the Gumball Rally movie, that's a real race, too, and you've taken part in it, right?
Oh, well, to be clear, you know, I have participated in the Gumball, but the Gumball Rally movie from the 70s was completely invented. There was no Gumball in the 70s. There was Cannonball, but there was no Gumball. The Gumball today, which is called the Gumball 3000, is basically a high-end road trip. You know, the people pay, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and it's not a race. It's a road trip. There's no times kept. But people like myself, you know, maybe 5 or 10 people out of 100 will record our own times unofficially and, you know, on a handshake, like an honor system, you know, discuss who was the fastest. But, you know, that is not, you know, an organized legal racing event. It's a rally. And a lot of guys who do that, maybe not enough, you know, are people who go to the track on weekends and drive in club events. So, you know, I had the benefit when I drove cross country of having David Maher, my co-pilot. He's a very experienced, you know, Porsche club driver, far better than I am. And, you know, to do something like this, you have to plan it, but you also need to be a really good driver, and that's why I brought him.
And this is also kind of expensive, all the equipment, all the upkeep, all the support systems. You're not making any money from this except for your book deal here. How do you afford this, Alex?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. You know, I never got into it to make money, and the book, you know, it's doing really well. It's hardly, you know, the money was not the issue here.
You're not going to be Stephen King based on this book.
No.
We know that.
No. Here's the thing. You know, you could do this in a lot of different cars. My car used today, you could buy it for $30,000. If you bought the equipment, you know, retail that I used, maybe $50,000. But I got a lot of stuff on eBay. You know, I think, you know, all the gear and everything for the car, 30, the gear, 10, 15. But this was, you know, I spent that money over 7 years. The key is, and it's not the money, it's the time. You know, if you're an attorney, you're going to spend thousands of hours planning. This is not the thing for you. you know, if you wanted to go climb Mount Everest, it would take years to prep. But if you wanted to go, you know, hiking, you can go do that. And that's what this was about. You know, the time was the big thing. And, of course, the stress. You know, it's not for everybody, and it's probably not for a normal person.
Back with more of your questions for Alex Roy. The book is called The Driver. It's featured now in the KMOX bookstore at KMOX.com. As always, when you use that link to buy it, a portion of the proceeds goes to help out St. Louis Children's Hospital. Alex Roy is the guy who drove that BMW M5 through our town. On October 8th of last year, it was the midway point of his 31-hour and 4-minute trip across the country, which is, can I call it an official record, Alex? Does anybody actually have a record? I mean, Guinness doesn't recognize this, do they?
No, the Guinness Book won't recognize anything that involved committing a crime, even a speeding violation. But, you know, since I was doing this, you know, with Corey Wells, who's shooting this documentary and writing a book about it, we approached, you know, some news organizations, and, you know, Wired Magazine agreed to send a journalist along in the plane, and we had the editors of several kind of car magazines and websites at the start and end. And, you know, we had the fuel receipts and toll receipts. But the big thing was we invited several of the drivers, including some of the winners of the old races from the 70s and 80s, to witness our departure and arrival. Because you can't just go and do this and say, oh, I'm the best. You know, you kind of you can't take respect. It has to be kind of, you know, given to you. And so we kind of asked them to kind of give their blessing. And they did. And so we basically shared everything we had with the New York Times and Wired magazine, and it took months for them to kind of approve and validate our evidence, and they did. So that was that's pretty much as you can do.
Yeah.
But we had more evidence than pretty much any of the guys who went in the 70s and 80s. And we actually had a time clock that we flew from New York to L.A., so we punched the same time clock at both ends.
Wow. Yeah. Let me get to some more phone calls here. Roy, you're on KMOX with Alex Roy.
Hi, Alex. Just to put the 31 hours, 4 minutes in perspective, how long did it take you to get back?
Get back to New York?
Right. And I guess I presume that you're at least somewhat obeying the speed limits or at least going with traffic flow or what's normal. How long did it take you when you weren't trying to break the record?
Well, when we were not breaking the record, you mean on the way home?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, to be clear, after that, I pretty much couldn't drive for months. I flew home, but there was no way I was driving. And the truth is, you know, 362 days a year, I'm a pussycat behind the wheel. I want to listen to music. I want to relax. I don't want to be in a hurry. So, you know, I want to go home safely. If you have something to live for, there's no point driving that fast without, you know, being serious about it.
There you go, Roy. Here's Vic on KMOX. Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Congratulations on your run. That would be a good time for me, just going from St. Louis to L.A. I'm a truck driver, and how did you deal with the propensity nowadays for trucks to run side-by-side because they're governed, you know, one company's a half mile an hour faster than the other, and they run side-by-side for miles at a time?
Well, you know, it's funny because, Corey Wells, who's making the 3207 documentary about our run, showed me all the interviews with the old drivers in the 70s, and the most important lesson we learned was get on the CB radio, talk to the truckers, ask for permission to pass. We had a great relationship with the truckers, and in fact, they saved us, you know, from many police. And you go to the truckers, their offices, the interstate system. Why wouldn't you ask the people who live there what's going on, how to do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a trucker myself. What brand of bird dog did you have?
So, what kind of CB radio? Sorry.
No, bird dog.
Radar. The radar.
We use a Valentine 1 radar detector, but I can be honest with you, if I had to pick one thing to bring with me, just one thing to do this, I'd bring a CB and talk to the truck.
I'm sorry, Vic, I cut you off there. It's my fault. I apologize. Alex Stacy emails and says, when I'm driving through St. Louis, I can't get my cell phone signal to stay with me for my entire trip home. How did he get his GPS and his cell phones and everything else to work going over 100 miles an hour across the country?
Good question. You know, we bring 4 GPS systems in addition to the BMW system. And, you know, because we know at least one of them at some point will lose signal. In the car, I think we have 5 cell phones between us, plus the air-to-ground radio to talk to the plane. And we're losing at least one item at all times is not functioning. So, you know, when the plane's overhead, they are texting us. They are calling us. They are on the radio. So you need to do this. You have to have redundant communications, or else you're not going to get there. And also, we're all texting and calling our mothers and girlfriends and boyfriends, you know, while we're in the car, because they want to know that we're okay.
I might point out, texting from the passenger seat.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, no, texting from the rear seat, because, you know, we had Corey Wells was in the back.
Right. And by the way, when is the movie 3207, when will that hit screens?
I think that's going to be done in a couple of months. I think you're going to see it probably second, third quarter next year. I've seen pieces of it. It's really quite something. And now that I've seen it, I don't think I'll be doing anything like this cross country again.
That was my next question for you. The book is a terrific read. Very exciting to be along with you in the car as you're making this trip. And I appreciate the time you made to talk about this today. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
The book is called The Driver, My Dangerous Pursuit of Speed and Truth and in the Outlaw Racing World. Alex Roy. Of course, there's a link to it on KMOX.com. Go to our bookstore there. Buy it there, and you help out St. Louis Children's Hospital, and you'll get a great read, too. This is the Paul Harris Show.